I hope those words of those songs prepared your heart for worship. I hope it prepared you to get connected with Jesus. I hope it prepared you to hear better from Jesus. That's what I hope. That's every Sunday. I hope that the songs that we sing, I hope the words of the songs, because that's what matters, because instruments are just instruments. There's nothing godly or ungodly about instruments, but there is about words, and there is about theology in songs. There is about connecting our lives with Jesus. And so hopefully those words that we sang this morning, or if you didn't know a song or two and you just read the words, hopefully the words you saw this morning prepared your heart for what God is about to do here in a moment. We're going to finish up our cattywampus sermon series this week. If you've not been here yet and you don't know what the word cattywampus is, I'm sorry. Somebody should have taught you. But if nobody's taught you yet, it just means things are messed up. Cattywampus, if things are cattywampus, they're just all messed up. I got a new one for you, and I heard it yesterday. It's like a one-year-old taking a bag of chips and slinging them all over the living room floor. That's cattywampus. Okay? If you went in your living room and saw your one-year-old sling a bag of chips all over the place, that would be considered cattywampus, right? That's right. So some of you have lived that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you understand cattywampus in those terms. The other one was what it looks like after a two-year-old gets done playing with things on a table. That would be cattywampus. It's just things being messed up. And listen, you and I can live through life with things messed up sometimes, okay? Ladies, listen, if your house is not immaculate, it's okay. You might think it's upside down. My mom, on her dirtiest of days in her house, you could eat off of her floor. So if my mom walked through the house and saw one little fuzz piece on the ground, her whole house would be cattywampus. Okay? But I'm telling you, ladies, it's okay. It's okay. We can live with that a little bit, okay? We can live through that. You can live through your work life being a little cattywampus sometimes. Sometimes you have a crazy week. Sometimes it's an easy week, right? That's just how work is. It's okay to life get cattywampus. Something we can't allow to get cattywampus in our lives is Scripture. We can't mess that up because it's all we've got. It's the way God speaks to us through His Word in black and white and in red in some Bibles where Jesus speaks. We have to know what Scripture says and follow it and not mess it up so that our lives, our spiritual lives, aren't all messed up, all misconstrued, all cattywampus. We're going to end with this one today. And then next week, we're going to start a sermon series on what church membership is. We're going to look in Scripture and look at church membership from the most basic level and just see what it means for us, see what it means for you that are church members, see what it means for those of you who are thinking about becoming a member of a church, hopefully this one. But we're going to look through that over the next few weeks after this week. But we're going to end this week with a very popular verse. I read somewhere, it's on the internet so it must be true, I read somewhere that after John 3:16, and Jeremiah 29:11, which we talked about last week, that this verse is one of the most quoted verses in the world. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says this: I am able to do all things through Him who gives me strength. If you've ever said that verse, or you have it somewhere in your house, or you wrote it down, put it on your desk, or somebody's told it to you, if that verse has ever come up in anything you've ever done or do currently, raise your hand. You've ever used that verse. Most of us, and the ones that didn't raise your hand just haven't listened, because it's popped up. Sports players put it on their shoes or on their eye black or whatever they do. People hold it up at sporting events. Somebody will come to you in a time of need and say, well, you know, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength, right? You hear those things. Maybe it's your life verse. Maybe that's one you've attached to that. Maybe somebody, like I said, in a tough time quoted it to you. Maybe it's one of those verses. We have these. Listen, it's not totally wrong. But maybe it's one of those verses that kind of empowers you. You have one of those verses? Maybe it is your life verse that does that. I've got verses like that, that if I know I'm going through something, I can go back in Scripture and I can find a verse and it speaks to me and it encourages me and it empowers me when I need it most. That's what the, and maybe this verse is one for you. It's one of the most quoted, and actually, unlike some verses, it's quoted correctly, but the problem, like most of these, comes in the interpretation of the verse. You're saying, how in the world could I misinterpret this verse? I don't know that you misinterpret it as much as we don't know everything it entails. The reason that that is, and we've talked about this every week, is because we don't read the context around the verse, right? We read one verse, we take it out of the context it's in, and we say, well, I'm going to hang on to this one verse because of what it says to me. And that's, again, not all the way wrong, but when we take it out of the context it's in, we're losing even more about what that verse could mean to us. Here's the context of Philippians 4:13. The church in Philippi received a letter from Paul, and this letter is the letter to the Philippians. It's what we're reading right now. He wrote a letter to this church to encourage them. They had some issues going on in the church. They were a younger church. Paul had started it maybe 10 years before this. They had kind of gone through some growing pains. They're starting to reach people, but now they've got some issues, and not only is he wanting to encourage them in ways, but he's also wanting to kind of speak to some of these issues. Some of the issues would be people are getting saved or following Jesus, but you've got religious people coming in saying, well, I know you're following Jesus, but you have to do this. In today's terminology, it would be this. Well, I know you're following Jesus, but you can't have a mohawk and follow Jesus, so you've got to cut your hair. Or, I know you're following Jesus, but when you come to church, you have to wear a suit and tie or a dress, so you have to do that. Or, I know you're following Jesus, but any number of things that you've ever heard before, right? All this human stuff, and he talks about it in here. All this human stuff that they brought up, all this religious stuff, Paul's trying to speak to take this legalism out. All these extra rules you're trying to put on people other than Jesus are not going to work. That's what Paul's wanting them to understand. He's also wanting them, because of those things, there's a little bit of disunity in the church. He speaks to that. And then he gives some practical examples of how to live a godly life. If you've never read the book of Philippians, it's just 4 chapters. Go home and read it this afternoon. Or read a chapter a day, and you'll have it done by the end of the week. By Thursday, you'll have it done. Maybe read it twice this week. But go back and read the book of Philippians if you've never done that. It's a good place to start. And most of chapter 4, once we get to chapter 4, most of this is some practical stuff and some thanksgiving. It's a thanksgiving section. And Paul usually uses that in the letters that he writes. He'll talk to them, he'll encourage them, he'll give them some ideas, he'll give them some suggestions. Here's how you follow Jesus better. Here's how you operate the church better. Now, I'm thankful for you guys, and here's all the other people I'm thankful for. It's almost like credits at the end of a movie. It's almost like that. But chapter 4 is a big appreciation, thanksgiving section to the church in Philippi. And again, like I said, some practical kind of last minute words that he wants to give them. So what does Philippians 4:13 mean when we look at it in the context of the scripture that it's in? I've got two big things this morning I want to talk about, and we'll be done. You kind of got to follow along. We'll be there in chapter 4. We'll jump to chapter 3 a little bit. So if you got a Bible, just open it up to Philippians 4, and we'll flip back and forth a little bit. And anything else will be up here on the screen. That'll be on the screen too. If you don't have a Bible, you can read it up there. The first thing I think that we see Paul meaning in a deeper sense, again, it's hard if we read the whole verse, it's hard to misinterpret this verse. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's a pretty easy verse to interpret, but it's so much richer, it's so much more to it when we look around it. And one of the things that we see is that Paul, in this section especially, is appreciative of what the Philippian church has done for him, but he's learned not to beg for anything. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. He's grateful for the church in Philippi, but he doesn't need them. Now, he's not saying that in a way of, hey, listen, y'all need to back off. They're supporting him. He started the church. He stayed there for a little bit, got him going. He leaves and comes back at different times on these journeys to visit with them. While he's gone, though, they support him with money. They give him money to be able to go out to these other places and to give to other churches that he's starting, to go into other cities, other towns. That's how they're supporting him. But he's saying, listen, I've learned I don't need that. Look in verses 10 through 14. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly because once again, you renewed your care for me. They must have given him something, right? You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know both how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. And then again, we read it, I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Still, you did well by partnering with me in my hardship. Paul is grateful for the help that's being given, but he's already learned through living for Jesus how to be content with anything. He was just content. He said, if you give me a little, I'm content. You give me a lot, I'm content. If my belly's full, I'm content. Right? Yes. If my belly's empty, I'm content. Now, I did a fast with Lindsay one time. It couldn't have been a spiritual fast because I was madder than a hornet the whole time. So it wasn't, don't think this was some spiritual fast. This was a diet type fast to reset my metabolism, do all that stuff. So Lindsay and I did it. I didn't make it the whole time. I did not make it anywhere close the whole time. And after about 30 hours in, I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm out of it. Take me to Chick-fil-A or somewhere. I'm done. I'm done with this. I was mad. I was hangry. So I don't know with a stomach that's not fed how to be content. But Paul was like that. Paul had been like that. He had been hungry, but he was content. He had been in need with different things, but he was content. Paul wouldn't be the church member that came in and complained and said, well, I don't like the way things have been decorated. I don't like that. I've had church members say that to me before, not here, but other churches. Come in and say, well, I don't like the way this decoration is. But Paul wouldn't be that church member. Paul wouldn't be the church member that came in and came to somebody and said, hey, you're sitting in my seat, you need to move. He wouldn't be that church member. Paul was content. He didn't worry. He wasn't worried about things. And it circled around his relationship with Jesus. He knew that with very little, he could be content because of his relationship with Jesus. He knew if he had a lot, guess what? He could be content. Not because of the things that he had, but because of the relationship with Jesus that he had. Any circumstance, he could be content. It's like Paul saying, thanks for all the help. Thanks for all the love. Thanks for all the support. But listen, it's good, but I got all I need in Jesus. And if you and I can't say that, we need to learn something from this verse. This verse is not I'm having a bad day, so I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or I need that job promotion. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, it's when you don't get the promotion, or when you are having a bad day and it doesn't go away, or when you do get the bad news, you learn to be content. If you've got a lot or you've got a little, you're content. That's what Paul's saying. That's why this verse pops up. Yeah, it's an awesome verse, and it is an encouraging verse, but it's so much more encouraging and probably a little challenging when we think of it in terms of whatever I've got, I'm content. And when I'm content, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The second thing we see from Paul is that he knew not just to be content, but there's a secret to it. He knew, he says in verse 12, he knew the secret to being content. Verse 12 says this again. I know both how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. The secret is verse 13. It's Philippians 4:13. That thing you've got on a sign at your house, written down at your desk at work, that somebody has told you. It's in a book. You see it written on somebody's sneakers. It's on somebody's eye black. Guess what? It's there. That's the secret. It's no secret. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Paul was content in Jesus, and he was content in the fact that Jesus had him covered. But Paul was not content when other people didn't know Jesus. That's part of the secret as well. If you think you're going to come into church and be saved, you think, and be a good person, and that's going to make you content, that will not make you content. There's not contentment in being a good person, not for eternity. There's not contentment in walking an aisle in a church and saying you're saved and then going back to the same stinking pew you were in and not doing anything. There's not contentment in that. But there's contentment when that happens in your life and it changes your life. And not only do you want Jesus, not only do you want Jesus, but you want everybody else to know Jesus. That's where contentment comes from. Have you ever, some of you in here will say no to this, and studies show a large percentage, maybe 8 out of 10 people, would say they've never done this. If you've ever shared Jesus with somebody, you know the feeling of being content. I can guarantee you, Carl Heckman has no greater contentment in life than when he gets to share Jesus with a kid at the Way and sees them come to know Him. He has no greater contentment in life than that. I can promise you that. Promise you that. If you've never experienced what it's like to share Jesus with somebody, you need to do that this week. You think you're content now? Woo! Think about what would happen if you actually shared Jesus with somebody. You don't know content. But listen, you're just like, well, Justin, I don't know if I can do that. Baloney, you can't do it because it says you can do it. Paul tells you, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Is that something He would want to give you strength for? Absolutely. But we just hang back. Well, I'm saved, and I'm okay. And if somebody comes to me, and we get in a deep discussion, I'll tell them to go to the preacher and talk to him. No, He's going to give you strength to do that. He's going to give you strength to share Jesus with somebody. Now, we're going to talk about this in a second. There's things sometimes where you feel like, well, I ought to be able to do that. God ought to give me strength for that. And He doesn't, and you can't do it. It's because He's not giving you strength for it. But I can promise you, every time you want to share Jesus with somebody else, He's going to give you the strength. Because you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Look over in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Paul says this. He says, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by my heavenly Father. That's an eternity in heaven. He says, therefore, let us all who are mature think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you also. Jump down to verse 18. For I have often told you, listen to what he says here, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. He's saying, listen, we're all trying for the goal. We all want eternal life. We all want to be saved. We all want forgiveness. But I'm telling you, there's people, and he says it with tears. There's people who don't know Jesus. Their end, verse 19 says, is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They're focused on earthly things. If we say we believe in Jesus, and the fact that there's people outside and even in this building today who don't know Jesus, if that fact doesn't bother us, it moved Paul to tears. If that doesn't bother you that people don't know Jesus, you don't know the secret to being content. And you don't know the verse, really know the verse, and the meaning of the verse that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even though Paul was content with himself and the relationship he had with Jesus, it didn't mean he laid down and stopped there. He might not have needed anything else but Jesus in his life, but he knew there were other people who did need Jesus too. So his relationship with Jesus, the contentment he had with Jesus, drove him to his mission to reach people for Jesus. For Paul, being content meant he wanted others to also know that way of being content. That's secret number one. Secret number one. Secret number two is this. Not only do we need to share Jesus with people, but we ourselves need to depend on Jesus to help us be content. We need to depend on him for strength. I can do all things, Paul says, through him, through Christ, who gives me strength. We have to depend on it. We can't just quote the verse and think that it's going to happen. We have to depend on him for that. Yes, you can do all things through him who gives you strength. Being content means you don't have to give in anymore. Being content means you can depend on him, and especially with the sin in your life. And that's where we mess it up sometimes. You might even be somebody who shares Jesus with other people, and that's wonderful. But you also have to depend on Jesus to get your life right too. You have to have God's strength to help you overcome the sin in your own life, just like you have to depend on God for the strength to share him with others. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Totally different letter to a different church, but look at what he says about people who don't depend on God for strength and the sin in their life. He says, "Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom?" In other words, those who are not living for Jesus won't get to see Jesus. Don't be deceived. Now he gives a list. And I want you to look at this list, and I'm going to ask you a question afterwards. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, nor thieves, nor greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. Well, Justin, there's two or three I've never done. But what about the ones you have been guilty of? Oh, Justin, that's a bad list. I've never killed anybody. No, but maybe we've put things in front of God. We've been idolaters. Maybe we've been adulterers because we've looked at somebody of the opposite sex that's not our spouse and looked at him in a way we shouldn't have. We're guilty of adultery. You've stolen something, taken something from somebody. Maybe you tried to swindle somebody out of something. You've spoke to somebody at some point that you've not been proud of. You've drank a little too much before. You've been greedy. I've done a lot of those. So how does God still want to save me? Because he saves you from those things. That's where you have to depend on God to save you from those things. Now, the difference in somebody who depends on God and somebody who doesn't is this. When you depend on God, you might not still be perfect because you're not going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect, but you're not going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. Your life's going to look different, and it's going to affect you when you do struggle with one of these sins or any other sin. But you're not going to keep being greedy and more greedy and more greedy and more greedy. Jesus hadn't saved you if that's you've not depended on him to save your life, to give you strength to get over that sin if you're still doing it. If every weekend you're still getting drunk and getting drunk and getting drunk and getting drunk, guess what? I don't think God has saved you. I don't think you've depended on him to save you. If you're not trying to get out of that sin, you're still abusive to people, verbally abusive. If you're still stealing, I mean, if it's constantly happening, you've not depended on him. Not dependent on him to be content. You've depended on something else to be content. Well, I need a little bit more money. I need a little bit more alcohol. I need a little bit more this in my life. I need to look at girls a little bit more. I need to look at guys a little bit more. I need to do this. Whatever it might be. I need to swindle just a few more people. You've not depended on God to help you overcome it. You've not depended on him to be content. There's a difference in being content in Him and being content in sin. I need Jesus every day of my life to overcome sin in my life. I need Him. We have to depend on Him for that strength. Not just the strength to share Jesus with people, but the strength to overcome the sin in our own life. Do you know the word in that says strengthen at the end of verse 13? In the Greek, literally translated, means this. It's an infusing strength into, or pouring strength into something. I can do all things through Him who infuses strength into me. I can do all things through Him who pours His strength into me. It's Jesus who infuses and pours His strength into us when we need it. And you and I have strength as long as Jesus keeps pouring it into us. You and I have strength. Doesn't mean we can do whatever we want. We talked about that a few weeks ago when we talked about Jesus saying, ask me anything and I'll do it. We talked about what that meant. The difference in what we want versus what God wants, right? God's will versus our will. And it's the same here. You can do everything through Him who gives you strength. And it means when we need strength, it comes from Him, but it also comes from His perfect will. You can't ask for strength to do something that's out of God's will and expect Him to give you the strength to do that. It won't happen. And listen, it might be a good thing in your eyes. And you might ask God for strength for that good thing, but He might not give you strength because that might not be part of His will. When we do something great, guess what? It's through God's strength. And when you don't do something that you think you ought to be able to do, it's because it's not His will. He's not giving you the strength for that. We can do all things within God's will for us, and He'll give us strength for it. And like I said, sharing Jesus with somebody, always going to be in God's will. Every single time, going to be in God's will. He will always give you strength to share Jesus with somebody. But sometimes He won't for other things. And we read this verse the last couple weeks in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. This is the reason why we don't understand that sometimes. It doesn't make sense to us because His thoughts are not our thoughts and His ways are not our ways. The Lord's declaration, as far as the heaven is higher than the earth, so God says, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's why it doesn't make sense sometimes. But God, that was so good. I needed that. When I was a teenager, I probably thought, you know what? This is a good godly girl. I need to date her. I think that'd be good, God. Won't you let me do that? And He would not give me the strength for that. Right? Y'all went through that. God, this is a good job for my family, and it would be such a good thing to do. And man, give me the strength to be able to do this interview, and give me the strength to be able to have this job. He's not going to do it. Because it's not His will. Because His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And His ways are higher than your ways. You ever wonder why God gives or doesn't give strength when He wants to? Flip over to verse 20 of chapter 4. Actually, I'm going to read verse 19. It won't be on the screen. But 19 says, and my God will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And then the answer comes in verse 20 of why God gives or doesn't give strength. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You say, well, what does that got to do with anything? It's all to give God glory. When He gives us strength, it's for His glory. When He doesn't give us strength, it's for His glory. So He gets credit. So He gets the applause. That's why. So that He can work. Sometimes He doesn't want us to have strength because He wants Himself to work more. Or He wants somebody else to do something. Sometimes He just wants you to be content. It's all for God's glory. I'd say God gets the most glory when people know Him and live for Him. That's when God gets the most glory. But God can't work through you. This verse, Philippians 4:13, and the surrounding verses mean nothing to you. You can't be content. He can't give you strength until He works in you first. That verse, you can say it, but it means nothing to you in the eyes of God until He has saved you and forgiven you and given you a brand new life. You can do all things through Him who gives you strength. When you've got Him giving you strength, you can't do all things through Him who gives you strength if you're not following Jesus, if you've not given your life to Jesus, if you've not letting Jesus come in and forgive you, change your heart, and change your life. Life's not hard. It's impossible without Jesus. It's impossible. So have you trusted Jesus this morning? Have you depended on Jesus to save you, to forgive you, to give you that brand new life? Because if not, that's what you need to do today. You need to depend on Jesus today to give you salvation, to save you from the sin you found yourself in, to save you from the life that you can't save yourself from. You need to trust Him and depend on Him to do that today. And here at the end, if you'll come down, I'll be down here in the front when we sing this last song. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, you come down. I'll show you right in Scripture. I'll show you right in God's Word what it means to be saved. You can pray this morning and tell Jesus you'd love to follow Him. You'd love to be somebody who He's forgiven and who He's saved, who He's given a brand new life to. You can do that today. You can do it today and He will change your life. But Christian, if you're here this morning and you are a follower of Jesus, are you letting Jesus work in you? Are you reading His Word? Are you believing what it says? Are you sharing His good news with other people? Are you content in just Jesus? Because if not, you need to be down here letting some things out too, maybe. Maybe you need to be down here letting some things out. There is a power in being content in Jesus. By the way, Paul wrote this letter while he's sitting in jail. He says, sitting in jail behind bars, oh, by the way, I can be content in anything. Sitting behind bars, he says, I'll be content in anything. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You don't think he prayed to get out of that jail? And at the moment he was writing it, he wasn't out of that jail. Why? God had other plans for him. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But I do know one thing. He wants to save you this morning. He wants to give you a brand new life today. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Turn your life over to Jesus today. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for Your Word, for being able to read it, being able to study it, hopefully be able to understand it a little bit better this morning. Jesus, You be with us these next few moments. You're moving in our hearts right now, Lord. If we're a Christian in here today, if we're already a follower of Yours, Lord, help us to be one that's content in just You. Help us to be one that is dependent on just You. Help us to be one that because we are content with You, we want other people to be content with You. So we want to go out and share You with other people. We want to bring people to church, Lord. We want them to come and be a part of our church family. We want them to know You better. Help us to be that kind of Christian. And Jesus, if there's somebody here today, and I just bet there is, who doesn't know You, who's never followed You, who's maybe played the game a little bit, maybe gone to church a little bit, maybe tried to be good on their own, but it's not none of that stuff's made them content. Lord, just help them just to rest in You today. Just to fall into Your arms today. Just to turn their life over to You. Trust You to lead it. Lord, I pray that You'd save somebody this morning for all eternity. We ask it in Your name. Amen.